everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today. We have seen remarkable things today." When was the last time you said that? Did you even know it was in the Bible? I just discovered this verse recently. We have seen remarkable things today. Or have you ever heard someone say that? Oh, guess what? I've seen remarkable things today. Maybe never. I mean, we don't really use the word remarkable very often. So here's your awe play today. What else might we say? What word do we use instead of remarkable? Awesome, amazing, groovy. I was going to say generationally, there could be different words. What else? Wonderful. Beautiful. What? Amazing. Astonishing. All right. Unbelievable. Rad. Fat. My kids are using words now, and there's new words for this, and they're like, "Mom, just don't. Just don't." Bussin'! It's bussin'! Yeah. And I look like a fool. I always have. So I'm going to stick with like keen and neat and swell. Like you might have said in the 50s. Nope, I'm sticking with remarkable. And here is what we're going to do. We're going to say this word so much this summer. It's just going to become part of your greater vocabulary. So here's what remarkable means. So as we're at the outset, here we go. We got a slide that'll tell us. Cambridge Dictionary says remarkable is something that is unusual or special and therefore surprising and worth mentioning. Merriam-Webster says remarkable means worthy of being or likely to be noticed, especially as being uncommon or extraordinary. Remarkable things are things that are worth telling or retelling, like something that you saw that you just can't wait to tell somebody else about. Like, "I was in the airport and I saw Eric Estrada." The people that are laughing are the people that know who that is, because they're over 50. "I was in the airport and I saw Harry Styles. I saw somebody." It turns out celebrities mostly fly their own jets now. You're not going to likely see one in the airport, but it's a remarkable thing. And actually, that really did happen. Eric Estrada saw him in the airport. We didn't talk. He's old. Okay. Remarkable thing. You might say, "I won a year's worth of Starbucks beverages." And you'd say, "Oh my goodness, that's more than my salary for the whole year." You know what's remarkable? My lab results came back clean. You know what's remarkable? I got 100% on my math test. Here's what's remarkable. When it's a snow day, and it'll be all the more remarkable next year because we didn't have any this year. Remarkable things. Remarkable things is the name of this new worship and preaching series that's going to take us all the way to Labor Day. And we are going to do this and think about remarkable things as we read through the book of Acts together in the New Testament, and we take a look at remarkable things both in the book of Acts and in our own lives. So here's a little introduction as we go, because we are going to read Acts from chapter 1 to chapter the last one, which is, I believe, 28, right? Chapter 1 to 28. Here's something about Acts. Acts is written by the man called Luke. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke, and it is unanimously voted by scholars that he wrote that book. Sometimes there are books of the Bible where no one's quite sure who wrote it, but these are the words of Luke. He wrote about the mid-60s A.D., so almost 2,000 years ago. And the stories in Acts are a continuation of Luke's gospel. He compiled stories from people that had known and seen Jesus when he was alive. And then he continues to tell this story about the early believers in Jesus. Acts is about what they did, how they lived, what they said. And some of this Luke tells from other people's stories, and some of it he gets to witness firsthand. It's the story of how the church got its start. It's a story of how we're here today. And so why remarkable things? Well, one, because Luke used that phrase in the book of Luke that we just looked at. But in the book of Acts, there are so many remarkable things that are being seen or might be heard. There are many instances of people who Luke will write that they were in wonder or amazement or astonishment. There are miracles and signs and wonders. In the book of Acts, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit, and remarkable things happen that draw people to Jesus. And in the book of Acts, there are remarkable things being heard or said or written. People are speaking and teaching and reasoning. There are speeches and conversations that appeal to people's minds. and draw them to Jesus. There are so many things that happen in the book of Acts that are remarkable. But there are also remarkable things that happen in our own lives. And throughout this series, we want to give you an opportunity to participate. This series is a challenge for all of us to pay attention for the next few months, to pay attention communally as a church body and personally as part of our own spiritual practice. So we are inviting you to read and to reflect from now until Labor Day. And of course, then I'll say, keep going, keep doing the same thing. But each week we will look at 1 to 2 chapters of the book of Acts and worship. And we will not have time in our 20 minutes allotted for sermons to be able to cover everything that is there. We will kind of have to pick and choose. What's the big idea? What's the big story or the theme of the day? But we don't want to miss out on anything, so we're hoping that y'all will be reading the book of Acts together as we go. So in your bulletin today is a trusty bright yellow and laminated bookmark. We spare no expense at Bloomington Covenant Church to try to get everybody to read their Bible. If you didn't get one or because you shared a bulletin with someone, we have more at the Welcome Center. But it says week by week what to read to be prepared for worship. Pastor Anna just said to me, she sat down, oh, we're already behind because we're just introducing this today. But it's a little chapter and I'll read it all to you and you'll be right on schedule getting ready for next week. So what we're asking is that you would read the passage each week, and then on the back there's a reflection question. Ask the question, what remarkable things did I read in this passage? What did I read that made me wonder or say, or think about? And then the second part of this is to reflect on your own experience or your own life. And so perhaps at the end of the day, as you're getting ready for bed or around the dinner table or whenever it is that you take time to pause, ask yourself the question, in what remarkable ways did I experience Jesus today? What did you notice? What is something that happened that you want to spend a little more time thinking about? What is something that you find yourself telling somebody else about or treasuring in your heart or expressing gratitude for or even saying, whoa, or feeling a sense of awe? The remarkable things that the first followers of Jesus that are told in the book of Acts and the Gospels, the things that they experienced did not end. God never runs out of ways to grab our attention, to bring it back to Him. And the practice of watching for those things will change us. That's what we're hoping for in this series. So this morning we're going to try this out for the first time. I'm going to read, we're going to look at Acts 1 through 11, and I want you to think about what do I hear or notice or remark about in this passage, because I'm going to tell you what I see, but I shouldn't get the last word. So be thinking about what it is that you notice as we go. So here we go, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, writes Luke, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So Luke was referring to his former book, which we call the Gospel of Luke. And he's writing here to someone in particular. His name is Theophilus, which is remarkable in and of itself because his name means loved by God. And the purpose for writing, Luke wants to make sure that Theophilus and anybody else who gets to read what he wrote, I'm sure he wasn't thinking thousands of years in the future, but he knew that he wanted everybody to know and to believe the things that they had been taught about Jesus. Luke is sure that Jesus was God. Luke tells the incarnation story in his gospel because he's sure that Jesus is God. Luke is certain that the stories that he himself heard and the other gospel writers tell are true and verifiable by credible witnesses. Luke is sure that everybody should listen to Jesus' teachings and follow Jesus. Luke believes with all of his heart and trusts the promise that there is more to come, and he wants everybody to know. That's why he writes these two books. Verse 3, he says about Jesus, after Jesus suffered, he presented himself to them, the disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Then the disciples gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. As Luke begins to write, he recaps some of the encounters that happened with the resurrected Jesus that were told to him. He is telling about remarkable things that he has heard from those who saw Jesus in person. And since Easter, we have talked about and read about a few of those eyewitness accounts. And then this passage rounds out, verse 9, after Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, the men said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now here's something remarkable that happened. As the disciples are standing there around Jesus, still in awe that he's alive, they see him ascend into the clouds. They watch him still embodied with wide eyes as he disappears into the clouds, which they would have seen as the glory of God, as they see him go into heaven. It's a remarkable exit. It's a remarkable farewell. Someone must have said, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has left the planet. And they're kind of stuck now, awestruck. Awestruck. Their minds have been blown and they're just standing there waiting. What's going to happen next? I mean, what do we do after this happens? And then there are these men in white, aka angels, standing among them. And they ask the disciples a question. Why are you standing here looking at the sky? And then they kind of they affirm the things that they've seen. They give them this promise that Jesus is going to come back. But there is this tone of rebuke. Even the phrase men of Galilee was kind of a disparaging term. But they urge these disciples, don't just stand there. There's work to be done. Remarkable things are coming. So be on the lookout. You have instructions. Go wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. Keep watching. Just not here, just not like this. The remarkable, you know what, when you look up like that, the lights get in your eyes and then you can't read your words. I'm just going to remark on that for a second. This remarkable moment has changed them. And they head back to Jerusalem on the orders that have been given, but I'm sure they are on high alert. When they go back to Jerusalem, they've seen such remarkable things that they are paying attention. You can be sure that they are not just waiting for the next thing, but they are watching for the next thing to happen. Here's the difference. Waiting means filling the time until the next thing happens. A person who's waiting taps their foot or twiddles their thumbs or paces. Waiting is a period of being bored or getting impatient or wasting time. My go-to wait posture is this, and my go-to thing to do is the New York Times word puzzles. So whenever I'm waiting to pick up a kid from school or pick up a kid from dance, I'm not looking around to see what's there. I'm trying to see if I can get the Wordle, if I can do the mini crossword in less than 30 seconds. That is my waiting posture. Waiters are bored. They're uninterested in their surroundings or the present moment. That is waiting. But the disciples, they're not waiting. They are watching. They are watching. They are anticipating and expecting. They are looking forward. They are hoping. They are watching to see what's going to happen. Watchers stand on tiptoe. Watchers peer over the shoulder of others to see what's coming. Watchers are people who are paying attention. Watchers watch the clock. Maybe you've watched the clock until it's time to register for summer camp for the kids. Maybe you've been in the situation where you're watching the clock until the moment that your lottery comes up and you get to buy your tickets to Hamilton. Did that once. Maybe you were watching the clock, also done this recently, until the moment that you can try to get a driver's test scheduled. Or you watched the clock as a kid until school would be over and summer vacation would start. That's watching. We watch for messages. Oh, will he call? Will she text me back? Did I get the job? Did I get the school that into the school I want? Is the baby, has she been born or he been born? When we have something to look forward to, we are watchful. We watch for things that we are hopeful for, things that we're looking for, something that you're excited about. In Meredith Willson's musical, The Music Man, you find this whole town full of people from Iowa, and they're very kind of stoic. There's nothing halfway about the Iowa way. But when what is coming, are they watchful and expectant? Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street. Oh, please let it be for me. And they think about all the things. I got a box of maple syrup for my birthday, and it might be shoes. It might be the thing that I ordered. And they are watching down the street for this thing to arrive. When it used to take a long time at my house, we are very watchful for packages because you get text updates. Hey, your thing is coming. It's coming tomorrow. It's coming in 2 days. It's coming. It's arrived. And I swear all of us, every time we drive into the driveway, we look on the front step to see, did any packages come today? Did anything come today? Because we're watching for those things. And what we watch for most of all are people. The people that we love are people that we want to see. When I was a kid, my grandma lived on the eastern side of South Dakota, and that was kind of what we did in the summer. We'd drive out to go see my grandma, and my mom would tell my grandma, well, a little lie every time we were coming because she'd tell her we were coming later than we were because my grandma would stand at the window and watch for us. Stand there watching down the dirt road, and my mom said, I don't want her standing there for 2 hours. So I'll tell her we're coming an hour later than we really are, so she will have been waiting and watching for only 1 hour. I think airports are full of people, and it's full of two kinds of people. There are waiters at the airport, people that bring you food, but waiters that are people who are traveling, who are biding their time until the next thing. When you're going somewhere, you're just sitting there waiting for the next flight or waiting to be called, and you're wasting time kind of thing. But airports are also full of watchers. Have you ever seen people in the airport holding signs, anxiously expecting someone to come? I have been in the baggage claim area at the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport watching people who are watching for new refugees coming to live in Minnesota. Just in February, I saw this. There was a group from Arrive Ministries standing there to welcome a family who had been coming for so long to welcome them. They've been watching for them. Maybe you've seen somebody watching for their kid that's coming home from a study abroad or a short-term mission trip. Or families waiting for someone who's coming home from their military service. They're not just waiting. They are watching. And my personal favorite watching experience, in the fall of 2017, my little family of four gathered with about 20 other people in the baggage claim area at Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. And we had been waiting and watching for updates for almost a year and a half for the arrival of a little boy. He was coming to become part of the family of our dear friends. And so as we all stood there together, we were watchful. Someone was checking the flight tracker. Every time the doors opened from the arrival area, we were looking to see if it would be then. We did not want to miss the moment when we would get a glimpse of this family coming home with their newest son, with their little brother. No one in that group was idle. We did not waste time, and we weren't the least bit bored. Kids were coloring signs, holding onto the balloons that they were going to share, and grown-ups were introducing themselves, each of us on our toes for the moment when Francis would appear. We were watching, expectant and hopeful. Watchers say things like this, keep a weather eye. Something is afoot. Something is coming. Remarkable things are in the forecast. Pay attention. When the possibility of remarkable things happening exists, you learn to live like a watcher, on alert for what might come next. And followers of Jesus, both in ancient days and now, have every reason to keep watch. There are all kinds of Bible verses that talk about the writer saying, I'm watchful for the presence and activity of God. One of my favorites is Psalm 5:3. It says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. The writer says, I'm going to begin each day seeking God, and I'm going to spend my day watching to see how God will show up. So Remarkable Things is an invitation to be watchful, to live in anticipation, to expect that Jesus is real and Jesus is near. It's to start the day wondering, Lord, where will I experience you today? And then reading the book of Acts. Then going through this book and reading and looking at things in there and saying, what is a remarkable thing here? Anything that you read that would make you say, why is it like that? Or how did that happen? Or what does that mean? Or I've never thought about it that way, or I've never noticed that before. That is being a watchful reader of Acts. And then as we go throughout our day, being anticipators of remarkable things. And remarkable things could be anything. Something that causes you to wonder, makes you scratch your head or say, Remarkable things might be something that launches gratitude or causes you to say thanks to God or maybe compels you to pray or ask, did you see that, Lord? Was it just me? Remarkable things are things that slow you down, stop you in your tracks, cause you to take a look closer or a second glance. They are surprising things. They are things that bring up more questions. You want to know more. They make you laugh. They make you cry. And remarkable things might be something miraculous. Let's hope that we get to share stories with one another of huge, miraculous things that happen, a healing that wasn't expected, hearing God's voice audibly, having a vision or a dream or a moment that was unexplainable and so remarkable. We are hoping for those kind of huge, remarkable things. But most likely, remarkable things are pretty ordinary. It's a phone message from an old friend, or when the day your tax return arrives. It's seeing the tulips pushing up from the ground or the crab apple trees when they bud and start to bloom. It's remarkable when you make it to the gas station on an empty tank. That would be my husband's MO. It might be remarkable to hear a song on the radio just at the time that you needed it. It's remarkable when a baby sleeps through the night. And maybe, for some of you, it's remarkable when you sleep through the night. It's remarkable to realize that the headache that you had is now gone, or to receive a gift. It's remarkable when someone does something kind for you, rakes your leaves, puts your grocery cart away for you, is patient with you when you forget. It's remarkable to get to do something kind for someone else, to invite them to sit with you, to learn their name and something about them, to donate a sweater, but they have enough sweaters, to donate a shirt. Or something else, a closet of hope. It's remarkable when you are patient with someone when they forget or they repeat themselves or they move more slowly than you do. Maybe remarkably you will find something that is lost in a place that you didn't expect or right there on the top of your head. You might say today, you know what's remarkable is the number of ladybugs in my church pew. Or box elder bugs crawling around. We are remarking about that constantly in our staff meetings. Maybe you see a remarkable sunset. There is no sunset that isn't remarkable. Or sunrise or the pattern in the clouds. Or maybe you'll remark about the speed at which someone speaks. It's too fast and she's trying so hard to slow down. Maybe you say, you know what's remarkable? I survived a really scary dentist appointment. Or that you got a whole day with no call or email from your kid's teacher. It's remarkable to hear the same thing twice. This morning it occurred to me that remarkable things might not all be good things, but they draw us to Jesus. Maybe it's running into someone you know or hearing somebody else's remarkable story. Pastor Anna and I got to attend the Northwest Conference meeting of pastors on Friday, and we got to hear the stories of 5 people who are being ordained this year, who have felt God's call to ministry and have said yes, which is remarkable in itself, and hearing their remarkable stories was helpful to me in my own life.
And maybe the remarkable thing for the next 2 months is that you read your Bible. Maybe for the first time. Or maybe just more consistently. Or for the first time in a long time. Or maybe you read it with a watchful eye and an expectant heart. Do you get it? Remarkable things are happening all around us all of the time. Jesus promised that he's with us, and if he is with us, that in itself is remarkable. And so the whole hope that we have starting now and into Labor Day is that we will become people who are watchers, who develop the habits or sharpen our habits of expecting to experience Jesus and taking note of it when we do. Let's join together as watchers and watch for the remarkable things that God did, that God does, that God is doing, and that God will do. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for Luke, who so diligently wrote down the stories that he was told. I thank you for the books of Luke and Acts and this opportunity we have in the months ahead to read through the book. And we pray that you would sharpen our minds and our ears and our eyes and our hearts to be able to see the remarkable things that you did then, but even more so, Lord, what you are doing in each of our lives every day. Give us boldness to speak about them, the ability to see them, and to go back to you constantly with them. In the morning, Lord, you have heard our voices. You have heard these requests that we lay before you, and now we wait in expectation to see what you will do. We love you, Jesus. Amen.